Mackenzie? Maddie. I'm sorry. I get you and your sister's names mixed up, don't I? I'm sorry. We have Alex and Maddie and Anna and Cora. Okay? And we have an assignment today. We're all going to do something weird. We're going to do a lot weird. And we'd be happy if any of you grown-ups would join us so that we're not the only ones. But you can make funny faces, you can dance, you can sing, you can pretend you're skating down the aisles. That involves standing up, and we're going to all do something weird. And actually, come on, okay, all the grown-ups are going to stand up. All the grown-ups are going to stand up, and we all have to do something weird. So, come on, do something weird. Do something
I'm
weird.
Standing, that's weird.
Come on, do something weird. Do a little.
Don't
do,
press my hands.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do something weird. There we go. Bob, can you make a funny face? There we go. Okay, kids, come on. I got the grown-ups doing it. Come on. You don't have to be up in front. You can come out here. We're going to do something weird. And I dropped my microphone. Okay. And they're very relieved when I say, you may sit down. Okay. Sometimes we have to do something, Bill, you can sit down too. Sometimes we have to do something weird, even if other people think it's weird, because God wants us to do something. Even if other people make fun of you. In the Bible, one time there was a great general who had an illness, And when he went to a prophet, a man of God, to find out what he should do, and he wanted that man to cure him, the great man of God said, go down into the river 7 times and you will be cured. And the guy said, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And his servant said, well, if he asked you to climb a mountain or fight a lion or something, you'd do that, wouldn't you? And he said, yeah. Well, then go down into the river 7 times. So he went down into the river 7 times and he was cured, even though he thought it was stupid. Sometimes God asks us to do something that we might not want to do, or it might be embarrassing to do in front of people. Like, maybe you feel one time that you should go be a friend to somebody that nobody likes. Or maybe you should help your mom even when the cool kids are watching. Or maybe that money that you've been saving up to buy something you've really wanted a long time, maybe you feel like you really should give it to kids that are hungry. And even though some of your friends might make fun of you, that's what God's calling you to do. So do it. Do it. Because the really important one is God. And even you might, when you grow up, you might feel that God's calling you to be a pastor. And even if that seems really weird now, if God's calling you to do that, it'll feel really, really right. It'll feel perfect when you follow what God's asking you to do. So even if God asks us to do weird things, we should listen. We should listen. Anybody have anything to share? Okay, can we make a circle and say a prayer? And I happen to know we have snacks there and we have magnets and stickers and things right there, and you're welcome to each of those, and you're staying in worship today, okay? Holy God, we thank you for these children. We ask that you watch over their families, all who love them. We ask you to be with all the teachers and parents as they're getting ready for school and looking ahead to bright futures for all children. We ask you to guide us, help us to hear you, help us to listen, even when it feels weird. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's snacks here and there's stickers and who's this from? Alex, who's this from? What's his name?
Phineas and Ferb.
Phineas and Ferb? Is that what it is? Okay. I have 3 of those magnets left. Okay. And we're staying in worship today. So there's stickers there. You want a sticker?
Can we get both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You can get, there's pretzels there, and you can get a bookmark. Okay. Thank you for coming up. I have some pictures I'm going to pass around. Make sure it gets all the way around, please. In the 3rd year of a terrible drought, on orders from God, the prophet Elijah went to his unfaithful king Ahab and organized a competition between the gods of Ahab and Queen Jezebel, Asherah and Baal, and Yahweh, the one true God of Israel. The other gods failed to show, and Elijah had all their false prophets executed. Then Elijah promised rain and ran for his life. I'm reading from 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 16. Ahab, the king, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu of Nimshi as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha as prophet in your place." Here ends the reading from 1 Kings 19. My message this morning is called Signs. Elijah caused trouble. It was his job. Telling powerful people what they did not want to hear made Elijah unwelcome. Telling a kingdom that the drought, the grass drying up, the animals keeling over, the children dying of hunger, the drought was their fault, made the unfaithful want to get out pitchforks. Even the faithful believed they were in danger near Elijah. He spoke God's word, and the wise trembled. Elijah wielded God's power, and the sensible hit their knees. Elijah caused trouble. It was his job. Before the drought, he told the king, "There shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." He traveled all over through years of unrelenting drought, doing all that God commanded. Elijah challenged a king and a queen who had led the people astray. Queen Jezebel had hundreds of prophets for her favorite gods. Elijah showed them to be worthless and had them all executed. He made a flamboyant show of revealing God's undeniable power. And then he ran. With all his strength and God's protection, he ran for his life ahead of Jezebel's avenging soldiers. Elijah ran for his life. He left his servant at the city of Beersheba and went another day's journey into the wilderness, into the desert, where he collapsed. Picture the heat. The parched landscape of unfarmed land in Israel after 3 years of drought. You can see the heat waves distorting the distance. Emotionally and physically exhausted, Elijah crawled under a broom tree, a deep-rooted desert shrub. Emotionally and physically spent, Elijah asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord, to take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. The great prophet Elijah, whom Yahweh had once fed with bread carried by ravens, who had brought a boy back to life, brought a king to his knees, and 800 false prophets to meet their maker, Elijah was worn out. At times we have felt weak, worn out, useless. Others would have made better decisions. Others would not have spoiled their relationships. Anyone else would have been more loyal, more skilled. No one else would have said the stupid things I did. Where is my broom tree? I want to give up. We become overtired. We weary of pain, grief, depression, shame, betrayal, physical pain or disability. We want to be done. I wonder if those common feelings are why suicide is said to be a sin. We silly humans think we are spent, useless, all done. And God has more plans, better plans. Most of us at one time or another needed a broom tree, a cup of water, a bite to eat, and an angel or two. We might even have had them and not noticed. Moses had to go up a mountain and wait to hear from God. Elijah and God just talked. Elijah and God talked. The Holy One said, jump, and Elijah said, how high? However, after he had faced down a king and hundreds of false prophets, Queen Jezebel wanted his head. Elijah ran into the parched desert, curled up, and asked to die. The next time you think you are at your end, the next time you are curled up, ready to die, remember Elijah, dehydrated, alone, and beyond exhaustion. God did not call him an idiot. God did not say, get up, you lazy oaf. God did not say, here's the next list of chores. God sent an angel with a jar of water who baked a cake of bread on a sizzling hot stone. The angel nudged Elijah to smell the sweet, fresh loaf. Get up, eat. Elijah still had lessons to teach. He had platoons to torch, kings to anoint, and kings to threaten. The Lord Almighty still had work for Elijah to do. First, though, he needed to recover. He needed to be fed. He needed sheltered sleep in the shade of a desert bush. Elijah did recover. Elijah went to Mount Horeb to listen for God's next assignment. Old Eli had had many divine conversations. Still, he listened. He was open to whatever the Creator had in mind. Professor Carol Zaleski visited the Ashmolean Museum at Oxford, England, and marveled at the display of religious icons. The sheet that's being passed around has a couple pictures of icons. Have you ever wondered about religious pictures or statues? Have you ever wondered if these might be forbidden graven images or part of idol worship? In the museum, Zaleski read the explanation that small devotional images were once widely used in private, in personal prayer, and that their precious materials and refined techniques reflected the glory of God. So we can see someone hanging on to a tiny gold-edged painting of Jesus and think idol worship, or showing off their expensive possessions. Or we can imagine that the gold reflects the esteem they hold Christ in, and that the picture itself helps them to pray. We can never know another's heart. If the fruit they give the world reveals a gentle and generous heart, surely we can assume the best. On another floor of the museum, Zaleski saw sacred sculptures from India from the period 600 to 1900. A quote from an Indian text of the 6th century said, "The divinity draws near willingly if images are beautiful." Huh? Would you agree? Does God come near for beautiful art? Do we know? On her flight home from Great Britain, Zaleski watched the movie Monuments Men, a drama about a World War II team which rescued thousands of works of art looted by the Nazis. The characters risk life and limb unearthing and recovering treasures such as Michelangelo's Madonna and Child. When asked if a work of art is really worth dying for, the George Clooney character says yes, because they bear civilization's deepest hopes and highest achievements. Really? Can a painting, a tapestry, a carving of stone, or a great book hold our deepest hopes and highest achievements? We all live our own lives. We muddle through the best we can with what our parents taught, what we learned in school, the knowledge, skills, and understanding we picked up through our lives. I have a friend who believes we should not meditate because the devil can slip into an opened mind. I met a woman who had a shrine in her home, and in that shrine was a tiny bone chip from a long-lost saint. She believed many people shared copies of that bone chip because it miraculously multiplied. My theology professor was absolutely certain how God worked and what language was proper and orthodox to use to describe God's self and God's actions in the world. Honestly, I doubt all of the above, at least that we can know. And I believe any of them might be right, especially for them. If we had been hidden behind Elijah in that cave on Mount Horeb, would we have been absorbed in our thirst and in our fears? Or could we have ignored the storms within and without to wait as Elijah did, ears wide open? Would we have heard God speak in the whirlwind, in the earthquake, in the fire, or in the silence? Would we have seen the angel baking a cake on a hot stone? Elijah knew the Lion of Judah would speak. Elijah listened. The congregational side of the United Church of Christ have Puritan ancestors. They took advantage of the Church of England's freedom to read the Bible for themselves and take it seriously, very seriously. The Puritans believed we should use no images, no pictures, no stained glass, no golden candlesticks. While the German half of the UCC have the estranged Roman Catholic priest Martin Luther in our pedigree, we agreed with Luther about the reforms of the Catholic Church and And yet we held on to more of the decor of ancient cathedrals. We have stained glass, images, gold and silver. Are we less pious, less faithful than the Congregationalists? Or are we more faithful? Perhaps one's heart matters most. Some call hurricanes, whirlwinds, and earthquakes acts of God. Has anyone since Elijah listened to them for God speaking? Should we? Will we? In the United Church of Christ, we declare that God is still speaking. Yet some say that the Lord our God speaks only through the Bible, and it was closed 1,500 years ago. Ever feel the Holy Spirit with you in immense human moments? The birth of a baby, the peaceful death of a beloved old soul? Ever have a movie change your mind? Ever hear a powerful speaker tell a story that compelled you to go out and change the world? Ever watch a news story that made you get out your checkbook and give away that new gadget you were saving up for? Is God really speaking? Even in the Bible, the details may be unclear. In Genesis 32, as he camped alone at a stream, did Jacob wrestle with a man or an angel or with God? Afterward, Jacob was called Israel, meaning one who strives with God. Theophanies, they are called, when God shows up. God's sightings can be as obvious as the angel Gabriel with wings and a glowing halo, or they may be as mundane as a newborn in your arms, wrapping a fist around your finger while tightening a grip around your well-laid plans. Can good people connect with God through pictures of Jesus, statues of Mary, or bits of bone? I think so. I've seen it done. God might speak through Calvin and Hobbes cartoons, if we listen. Elijah obeyed angels. Elijah obeyed God. Elijah scolded a nation, convicted two kings, and had hundreds of people killed. He was a prophet of God, mighty in word and deed. Still, he listened. Perhaps he was a prophet mighty in word and deed because he listened. Amen.